This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. The director of the Colorado Avalanche Information Center is a man named Ethan Green, and lately he's not had much time off.
I haven't really had more than a couple hours off, 15 and 12-hour days this weekend.
It turns out conditions are really ripe for avalanches this season. Four people have died in avalanches so far this winter. Two of those deaths were at ski resorts. I asked Green what's leading to these conditions.
What we had this fall was very dry weather, so very shallow snowpack in the mountains. And even though it was kind of warm, up high in the high peaks, it's still cold. So we formed a very weak structure in the snow that was lying across the mountains of Colorado.
A weak structure. Will you just like paint a picture of what it would look like if we were to take a slice of it?
Yeah, it's kind of a tangled web of ice. And you can actually see a lot more air in the snow at the bottom of the snowpack right now than you would in a typical year. A lot of people in Colorado call it sugar snow because it forms kind of large grains that break apart really easily. And if you stick your hands in them or if you walk through it, it looks like you're kind of stepping in a pile of kind of large grains of sugar.
Mm.
You can also kind of hear it tinkle as you're walking through it. And this kind of snow is really not that dangerous until we put a heavy snowpack on top of it.
I see. So the later snow that we have gotten after the drier period just has like a really weak foundation.
That's exactly right. In order to get an avalanche, you need three components in the snowpack. One is a slab, a plate of snow that breaks away from the hillside and rolls down into the valley.
Okay.
And then you need a weak layer underneath that. You can think of that weak layer as kind of the weakest link in a chain. And then something for the snowpack to slide on. That can be a hillside. It can be the roof of a building. And so the weather early in this winter formed really, really weak snow. Without a slab on top of that, that really wasn't much of a problem for us. But we've built a really nice slab on top of it over the last 2 weeks or so. And so that's what's producing these really dangerous avalanche conditions.
Got it. Well, recently, two people died in avalanches at ski resorts. One person was skiing a closed run at Vail, we should say. The other was skiing an open run at Winter Park. Is that unusual to have avalanches at resorts, at ski areas?
Well, it's not unusual to have avalanches at resorts. What is unusual is to have public skiers involved in those avalanches. The ski industry does a lot of work to address the avalanche hazard on the mountains where they operate, and they have a really good safety record of doing that. Occasionally, we do have incidents like these last two where people that are skiing inside an operating ski area get caught in an avalanche, and that itself is unusual.
Any lessons to be learned from what happened in those cases? I mean, one would be don't ski a closed run, right?
Well, certainly obeying all the rope lines and signs at a ski area is always a really good idea. The ski patrol is doing a lot of work to keep you in the areas that they've gone through and tried to either mark or remove obstacles, whether it's avalanches or rocks or what have you. The other one at Winter Park, it was in an open area, but it wasn't really on a run. It was in the trees between a couple of runs. So one thing to do to address that issue would be to make sure that you ski with other people. So if something happens, there's somebody there to try to help you. And then the other part is just the unusually weak snowpack that we have this year played into really small areas in the trees producing avalanches that we don't typically see. And we've been seeing this in the backcountry across Colorado over the last 2 weeks or so.
So, bad year for backcountry skiing or what?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad year to go backcountry skiing, but it's a year where you really have to be careful about choosing where you're going to go and when you're going to go. There's always places that you can travel safely in the backcountry, but if you're not familiar with recognizing avalanche terrain and maybe even evaluating the stability of the snow, you need to give yourself kind of a larger margin for error this year.
Good year to take a class, huh?
it's a terrific year to take a class. In fact, every year I would say it's a good year to take an avalanche class. The things you want to remember if you're trying to stay safe in the backcountry is, first of all, get some information on the current conditions. And the best way to do that is to contact our group at www.colorado.gov/avalanche. We put out daily bulletins on the conditions of the snow and the avalanches in the backcountry. And so you'll know what you're going to face when you head out for the day. The next thing would be to get some education so you can put that information into context in terms of how it's going to threaten you or how you're going to avoid those threats during the day. And then the last is to be prepared for being in the backcountry. And as far as avalanches go, that involves carrying rescue equipment. Everybody in your group should be carrying an avalanche transceiver, a shovel, and a probe pole. And you might also consider something like a RECO device or an airbag, Avalung, some of the other technology that's come out in the last few years.
Well, to wrap up, is there any natural phenomenon that could occur as the season goes on that would lessen the risk of avalanches? Or does that weak substructure just box us in for the rest of winter?
Well, the weak substructure is going to be a problem for us for the rest of the winter. And the natural phenomenon that's going to make it go away is the spring melt. So really, until we move into the spring and start melting that snow and having it run into the rivers, we're going to have avalanche problems related to that snow that formed early in the year. Exactly how that's going to manifest depends on the weather that's happening over the weeks and months to come in the winter.
Ethan, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I know that you have not, in the last few weeks, gotten a lot of sleep. You've been busy at the center, and I'm grateful for your time.
Thank you very much for inviting me on your show.
Ethan Green directs the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, which is in Boulder. There's a link to the center's daily forecast at our website, cpr.org.